Let us exalt his name together. God is so good. He is merciful and kind and gracious, and he gives us what we don't deserve, and that is his mercy, his grace and love. And he withholds from us what we do deserve, punishment, and all of the wrath that would follow. But thank God he's real. Amen? We do want to invite your attention for just a few minutes as we look at a passage of Scripture this morning. It was actually brought out in our Sunday school, and I was about to burst as they were sharing this verse, James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. We're going to be in that passage for the next couple of Sundays at least. James 1 and verses 1 through 5. When you get there, say amen. Amen. If you're not there, say hold up. Okay. We often say turn in your Bible, but now it's you get your iPad, your mobile device, however you can get the word. Let's get into it. Amen. James 1, beginning with verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brothers, count it all joy when you fall into various temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to all men liberally and does not reproach, and it shall be given. The Lord bless the reading of his word. Look at someone and say these words, deal with it. Look at somebody else and tell them, deal with it. Amen. You may be seated. That's our thought for today. Deal with it. Lord, we do ask that you would speak through these lips of clay to the hearts of these your people. We don't want to stand presumptuously that we know everything that we need to say because we don't, even though we've studied. We depend upon the work of the Holy Spirit to move on lives and to touch people, that they might know your great love and all of your mercy. Speak to us now, we humbly pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. And all the redeemed said, amen. Amen. You've heard people use that phrase, deal with it. And they often mean, suck it up. Just try to get through it. The attitude is not reflected in this verse. James is admonishing people to count it all joy. As a matter of fact, he says, count it completely joy when you go through these different trials in life. Most of us say to ourselves, I just want to get it over with. And then you've got a few people that have this martyr syndrome where they feel like, well, I'm suffering for the Lord. Praise his name. That's not what James has in mind here. And I think it's very befitting that we look at who he's addressing the letter to. And that will give us a better understanding as to how we can glean from that as believers. You notice he says in verse 1, James, a servant of God, this is the salutation, and of the Lord Jesus Christ to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Obviously, he's writing to his Jewish brethren, to his brothers and sisters that share of that natural line of Abraham. He's writing to them. He is encouraging them. Now, what's going on with them? Well, the verse says they're scattered. Now, what does that mean? During the Roman Empire, they had such a hostility toward the Jewish people, not only for their religion, but because of their race. They were persecuted. I mean, ruthlessly. He ran them out of Rome. But not only that, during the time that the temple was destroyed, I think it was during the reign of Nero, but also Claudius Caesar, they persecuted the Jews to the point that when they did have the all-out persecution of them, over 1 million Jews were killed because they had an uprising. The people revolted. The Jewish people wanted their freedom because they were the children of Abraham and they wanted their freedom, and they revolted, and the Romans ruthlessly suppressed them. Over 1 million Jews were killed. And not only that, but the others were sold in slavery. Over a million Jews were sold in slavery. And the remainder of them, they scattered them throughout the Roman Empire because they said, you will never do this again. World history is filled with people persecuting one another. You and I, as people of color, we can relate to it because we know that our folks were held in bondage and slavery, suffering. But we can also relate to it as Christians because we know we've suffered. We've gone through things that just did not make sense. We had to endure hardships. And I want to say to you that you can either go through it with your head hung down, saying, woe is me, or you can lift up your head and say, wait a minute. None of what I go through changes God. He was God before the trial. He's God during the trial. And guess what? He's going to be God when the trial is over. James is trying to tell us something, that when you deal with these situations in life, you can choose to have joy. James is saying, I want you to deal with this not as a martyr, not as a person that says, let me just hurry up and get through this mess. When is this long night of suffering going to be over? Let me just get it over. No, James says, deal with it. So how do you deal with it? You count it all joy. That's a tough pill to swallow. Come on, James. I mean, really. I mean, that's a tough way to deal with life. He's not saying you have to do it. He simply says, consider it joy, because God's going to do something amazing even in the midst of your struggle. Is there anybody in the house today? Hello? Y'all still here? Even while you're going through and you're saying to yourself, man, I'm trying to do the best I can. If you ask most folks how they're doing, I'm hanging in there. You ain't Tarzan, though. And ain't enough vines for you to swing from. How do you deal with it? You hold on to the grace of God. And you allow him to do some amazing things that you thought never could be done. We've been talking about the riches of God and discovering the riches of God in your life. And I've gotten to the point now where if you got more riches outside of you than you have riches inside of you, you're still bankrupt. If you got all the silver and gold in the world and you don't have some precious things of God in your spirit and in your heart, you're still bankrupt. If you don't know the peace of God that passes all understanding, all the treasures of this world can't get you through your problem. But when you know like I know, when you discover that he walks with you, that he talks with you, that he tells you that you are his own, you say, you know what? I'm dealing with it. I'm dealing with it. And I'm doing it God's way. I want to tell you something. The greatest riches of God are not found on the mountaintop, but in the valley. Those of you that had to cry yourself to sleep at night, you know what I'm talking about. Where God sends his comfort somewhere around 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and talks to you and lets you know that everything's going to be all right. That's what I'm talking about. People that had to wake up to one more day of pain, but they said, thank God for grace to face it with. When it seems like everything is over, that's when God said, it's not over, it just started. You see, it's in the death that you discover resurrection. Things have got to die. They've got to change. You know, we said time is filled with swift transition, but God doesn't transition. There's no shadow of turning in him. He was the same yesterday, today, and forever. So when you come to him with your problem in prayer, God says, I got this. I got this. I didn't bring you this far for you to fail right now. And you can have that attitude of saying, Lord, I'm going to count it all joy. I'm going to close the message today talking about some of the things that will not change, and I got to go to it right now. No matter what you go through as a believer, God said, I'm right there with you. When the midnight comes, I'll walk with you. When the storms blast away in your life, I will talk you through the storm because I'm right there. I'm right there with you. Child of God, have that comfort in your life. And that's why James has the audacity to say, count it all joy. And that means God's fitting to do something. I don't know what it is. Can't explain it even after it's over. But all I know is God's going to move in a special way. Anybody in the house? So the early Christians learned to have this spirit of rejoicing as they went through their various trials in life. The church leaders were saying to one another in Acts 5 and verse 41, even as they were persecuted by the religious leaders of that day, it says that they departed from the presence of the council rejoicing. Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus. Acts 8 and verse 4 tells us that even when they drove them out of Jerusalem, they scattered, they were going everywhere. They went everywhere rejoicing. Acts 8 and 4 says, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. The joy of the Lord was something they had every day. Here we are going into our second year of COVID, and everybody going, ooh, ooh, ooh. Somebody sneeze, you got COVID. Now, granted, you need to be careful, but you don't need to be fearful. Same God that's been with you will be with you always. Count it all joy. In other words, deal with it. I think the year of 2022, God wants a better attitude from his church. He wants a more thankful attitude from his church. He wants people, rather than to be divided in their faith, he said, hey, y'all, it's time to huddle. That's a football term for those of you that may not be with football. It's time for you to get together. It's time for you to put aside petty differences. You might be scattered. You might be here and there. But when it comes to your faith, unify with the body of Christ and watch us do some amazing things on this earth. I don't know about you, but I plan on going out with a bang. Amen. I know I'm getting out of here one day, but when I go out, I'm going, man, he's wow. Wow, I didn't know he was going to go like, yep, that's me, because I'm going out with the victory. I'm going out in Jesus' name, knowing that he's the one that has died for us. Another verse that was brought up earlier this morning was in Romans 5 and verse 3. When we go through our times of trouble and situations that we cannot handle in life, he says in Romans 5:3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation. We glory in trouble, knowing that tribulation produces patience. What a mighty God. So this is the argument. This is the driving force. This is the encouragement that James is telling his fellow Jews and also his fellow believers. Look at it as all joy. You don't know what God's going to do with that misery that you're going through right now. And you've heard folks say in the statement, God can always turn it around. What was meant for your destruction, what was meant for your evil, God can always turn it around. Look at somebody and tell them again, deal with it. Yeah, you say, preacher, I'm okay. I'm going to put a big smile. He's not saying you got to go around cheesing all the time. That's not what he's saying. But inside your heart, you have a treasure that's deposited by the Holy Spirit, and it's called joy. So when the pressure comes in on you like a rushing flood, you tap into your joy. I like these automated vehicles now. Right now, you know, if you wanted to engage your four-wheel drive on your vehicle, you had to stop, put it in neutral, and then pull another little lever, and then all of a sudden, you got four-wheel drive. You got traction. Now, just press the button, and you got four-wheel drive. Sliding around on the snow, ice, just press the button, you got four-wheel drive. What James is saying in this verse, you got the joy of the Lord. Just press the button. Just tap into God in prayer and say, God, I need some joy. Bang, joy is there. I want to show you some amazing things from this verse. But I gotta say this. What if you say to yourself, I'm not going to put up with this. I'm not going to go through with this. That's the same as forfeiting the game. Let me tell you what forfeiting a game means. That means you lose even without playing. Some of y'all sports people, help me out, all right? You just said to yourself, I'll just lose the game. I'll just throw the game. Who knows whether or not God in that trial is going to teach you some stuff that you didn't know you had? What if he's going to give you something that you didn't possess before you got into it? You know you got the joy, and what the joy does is keep you while everything else is working to produce in you what could not be produced had you not gone through it. Oh, look at somebody a third time. Tell them, deal with it. I ain't putting up with these folks no more. I'm getting out of here. You sure you winning or you losing? Are you forfeiting the game? Oh, some of my family members have got on my last nerve. I ain't going to speak to them no more. Before you write them off, ask yourself, are you forfeiting it? Or can you learn how to deal with it? How does God want me to deal with what I'm facing? Are y'all in the building? How does God... Not me, because already this thing is over my head. How does God want me to deal with this particular issue that's going on in my life? This first sermon, I'm just going to dedicate to what we call trust preparedness. Write that down. Trust preparedness, which means at the beginning of the trouble, you must trust God, but you have to also acknowledge that you are prepared. How do you acknowledge that you are prepared? You do that by saying, I'm going to count it all joy. That's what God wants me to do. That's what I will do. Look at the text for just a minute. I'm going to move on. I got to move on very quickly. Notice in this verse 2, he says, brothers, which means brethren and sisterin, count it all joy. And look at the word When? Wouldn't it be nice if problems would give you a 2-week notice? Wouldn't it be absolutely amazing if people will tell you when they're going to cuss you out? That'd be awesome, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be nice if folks gonna tell you when they're gonna do something stupid? Most of these tragedies, most of the sicknesses hit us all at once. They don't wait. They're not on a timer. You rarely receive any warning at all, and it's there. You go to the doctor for a routine exam, and all of a sudden he uses the C word. You got cancer. Or you go and you visit the lawyer for a routine thing of saying, well, how are things going? And he informs you of some great difficulty that now you got to deal with all of a sudden. And James says, when that happens, not if it happens, but when that happens, most of us are one phone call away from a problem. And I'm not telling you, I certainly don't want to wish anything on anybody, but the problem's going to come. So the question is, how are you going to deal with it? Let me just give you a couple of things, then I'm going to close the message. James would never have told you to count it all joy if joy wasn't already there. If joy wasn't already available, he'd be lying to you. How in the world are you going to count it? It's like, Bill Coleman, give me $1 million. Are you kidding me? But you've got joy that God has planted in your heart, in my heart, so that when it happens, that very instance, you can just press the joy button and say, God, I'm engaging your joy. Because the battle ain't yours no way. The conflict doesn't belong to you anyway. God just invited you to the problem so that you would see how that he could solve the problem and still keep your joy. I wish I could preach to somebody today. Count it all joy when. So it happens all of a sudden. But then if you notice, he uses another phrase in verse 3. It says, knowing, which means you possess the knowledge of it. You know about this. Now, to the Jewish people that he's writing to, they know how God has delivered them in the past. They know how God brought them out of Egypt. And then again, when they were in bondage and in captivity in Babylon, they knew how God brought them out. They knew. You, child of God, look back over your life for just a few minutes. Try not to get happy. But look at the storms the Lord brought you through. When you lost loved ones, he was right there with you, putting his arms around you, telling you, it's going to be all right. When you stumbled and your faith got weak, God says, I'm here to encourage you. Knowing. I don't know everything about God, but I know one thing. He brought me this far. Great God Almighty. I didn't want to go there right now. He brought me this far by faith, and by faith he'll lead me on. How many of you honestly can say, well, the Lord left me and I didn't have anything? Nobody can make that statement. Nobody can make that statement, because if the Lord picked you up, he promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's in the contract. That's in the agreement. Are y'all still here? My grandma say, he walked with me. He talks with me, and he tells me that I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. So in trust preparedness, we've got to know that if it happened instantaneously, then we're ready for it. Why? Because God has deposited in you so that no circumstance will be greater than the power that he's put within you. Let me put it this way. Greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. That's all I'm trying to say. So the problem can't size up to you, and they can't size you down. They may be bigger than you, but they're not bigger than your faith. Y'all still here? Look at somebody's foot for the fourth time and say, deal with it. Three barriers, keep us from dealing with the things that we should. Number one is a fear factor. Fear and anxiety. Fear and anxiety, the panic of when something happens, keeps us from going on our knees and talking to God. Fear and anxiety. Give you a quick example from the scripture. The children of Israel went in this valley called Elah. Elah. And 1 Samuel 17 says that they were panicked because of Goliath, a giant that was in the valley, defying them. How dare y'all to send somebody down here? Don't your problem talk to you like that? Monday morning, here you come, your problem already talking to you before you get up. How dare you to send somebody to fight with me? If he fights with me and I conquer them, then you'll be our slaves for life. But if they conquer me, then we'll be your slaves for life. And the Hebrews, all of them, except one person, were going, ooh. And then this little kid, about 17 years old, David, shows up in the valley, and he hears him. And he says to himself, how dare he defy God like that? And he asks this question, is there not a cause? In other words, is there a cause for anybody to stand up and say, I got God's joy? Now, when did David get that boldness? He got it before he got to the valley. Which tells us God's not going to throw you out a lifeline of joy once you get into the problem and expect you to swim your way back. No, that's not God. He's going to give it to you ahead of time. Point to yourself and said, I got something in me that the world cannot defeat. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. The world didn't give it, and it cannot take it away. David stood up and said, I'll fight him. Long story short, he goes out there and the giant is just, he's just beside himself. You kidding me? That's what your problem, that's what the devil says about you. You kidding me? But here's what we do. We step aside and said, I ain't gonna fight you. I'm just the fight announcer. Here we have problem on one side of the ring, but I got Jesus on the other side of the ring. He will fight. Lord have mercy. Anybody in here know what I'm talking about? Preacher, how are you gonna deal with it? I'm putting Jesus in there. I'm going to let him fight because he's the one that said he would fight my battles. Now, am I in the ring? Yep, I'm just announcing. And Jesus, the first punch. You've got to know what God has placed in you as you go through these trials and struggles in life. The second thing, not only fear and anxiety will keep you, but also another barrier to joy is tradition. Everybody say tradition. Tradition is doing what you've been doing all along, and everybody just kind of keep doing that. How many of y'all notice that trick don't work? Rocky said to Bullwinkle, that trick never worked. Some of the young people looking at me and said, who's Bullwinkle? Never mind. A barrier to joy is thinking that the world is going to be the same today as it was yesterday, and you are sadly mistaken. Every second, the enemy is developing something new. He's trying to come up with new weaponry to fight against the people of God. But the weapons of our warfare are not man-made. They are divine. They're from God, and they can conquer any evil. They can tear down any thought or anything that exalts itself against God. Never let tradition keep you from becoming that child you need to be. Always say to yourself, Lord, I'm depending on you to guide me today. And no matter what the enemy comes up with, God always got a better plan because he's perfect. Amen? Look at somebody. Don't tell them, deal with it. Tell them, God's got a better plan. God's got a better plan. He's going to help you. He's going to guide you. Third barrier, then I'm going to sit down. Compromise. Compromise, tell us, let's just all get along. If the Jews had simply gone along with the Romans, fine. If you stop saying you're a believer, except when you get in church around everybody else. You believe? Oh, yeah, praise God, I believe too. You get problems when you go out in the world and you start saying that. When you start testifying, when you start giving people encouragement with the scripture, that's when you encounter your problems. If you shut your mouth, everything be fine. But no, you got to talk about Jesus. And talking about how Jesus loved you. Next thing you know, somebody's saying, they're offending my faith, and I don't have faith. Isn't that something? In the workforce, you can talk about everything else except God. Talk about politics. Talk about unbelief. You can talk about sexuality. All of that stuff you can talk about, but you don't mention Jesus. Let's just all get along. That's what the world wants you to do. When he knows that there's no greater name than the name of Jesus Christ, the devil knows that. And the mention you start, and the time you start loosing and mentioning that name, the devil has to buckle his knee, because he knows that one day he's going to bow. And when you use it with authority, when you start saying, that's when the devil says, okay, we got to get them. We got to shut them up. But how many know the more you try to shut up a child of God, the more you try to tell them, don't sing, don't do something on the inside. Jeremiah said it just like fire. Shut up in my bones. Do I have some witnesses? So those are the barriers that we'll face. And what James is saying, you're going to have conflict. But don't be discouraged in your conflict. The same God that brought you this far also has given you joy so that you can hold your head up high, knowing that he's going to help you through your trouble. He's going to help you through your storm. I close by giving you this. There are some people in the Bible, they didn't compromise. Daniel and his companions, when they came from Palestine, they made a vow that we're going to be true to God. We're going to be true no matter where we are. We're not going to eat the king's food. We just ask for simple stuff so that we can get through this world. The time that you compromise is when you start saying to the devil, well, if you give me some of what you got, no, you don't want anything from the devil. You don't compromise. And because they did not compromise in their faith, the Bible tells us Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in a foreign land, Babylon, they decided that they were not going to obey the king's decree. He had made this huge statue out in the plain of Dura, and he wanted everybody to be there for his celebration and dedication of this statue. But when you know God and you know he ain't in no statue, you know that he's a waymaker, you know that he's a provider, how in the world can you bow down to a statue? Let me go a little bit further. How in the world can you pretend that you, well, I'm a sign of Libra. I'm a sign of Sagittarius. Why are you going to go with stars that you don't even have control over, and Jesus is right there? I wish I could preach in here. Come on, I believe in God, but you letting Zodiac tell you what to do. I know I'm supposed to be preaching about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I'm going to get back to them, amen? But I want to deal with you right now. Get some of this stuff out of your life, because it cannot produce joy. You've got to have the Lord to guide you. The Bible said that the king brought them up, and he said, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you will not serve my gods? Then he asked the question, who is that God that can deliver you out of my hand? Now here come the boys. Now here they come. Here they come. Oh, king, we don't need to answer you on that point. And they said the word, our God is able. Can I talk to somebody that's going through? Your God is able. Pastor, my heart is broken, but your God is able. Preacher, you don't know what I'm going through. I don't know, but he knows. And he gave you some joy in order for you to deal with it. They said to themselves, you know what? We're going to deal with it, boys. If it takes the fire to prove that God is real, we're going to deal with it. And the king, they went on to tell the king that he's able to deliver us and save us out of this fiery furnace. He will deliver us out of your hand. But if not, even if God doesn't do that, we're still not going to bow down. How is it they could say that? They had some joy. They knew how to deal with it because they didn't have to look up joy. They didn't have to pretend, amen, let's pretend that joy is there. When you got the joy of the Lord, it'll be your strength. It'll make you powerful. And guess what? When they threw them into the fire, joy was still with them. Joy does not burn up. But then God said, you know what? They done threw my boys in the fire. Let me go down and adjust the thermostat. Let me go down and get the smoke out of the atmosphere. When you have joy, it'll clear the way for you. Because you will know, can't nobody do you like Jesus? Anybody in the house today? Look at somebody for the last time and tell them, I'm going to deal with it. I'm going to deal with it. I ain't going to put it off. I'm going to deal with it. And when I deal with it, God's going to deal with it. And when God deals with it, it's done. Stand in the evil day. And having done all to stand. Now, while you're standing on your feet, I want to give you these points. While you're standing, say, I'm going to come over. We're going to get ready to get out of here, y'all. Amen. Food on the stove. We got to get to the house. But point number one, God will never send you into a storm where he won't go in there with you. Are y'all here? Point number two, you will never know what the joy can do until you use it. You got to use it. Point number three, I'm hurrying up through this. I'm trying to get to my page here. Point number three, amen. Everybody say number three while I turn the page. Amen. Head goes. Joy works all the time. It works all the time. Even when you're on a hospital bed and you got COVID and you gasping for breath, you can say, joy. Joy. Anybody in the house? Because when you say joy, that's part of saying Jesus. I wish I had a witness here. Last point. Joy is in place before you go through your trial. Child of God, you got some options. You have some options. Choose joy. Choose joy. And joy will put a whole lot of other things in work. That's coming next week. God bless you. Amen. We're going to give the invitation, then we're going to give the closing prayer, and we're going to get out of here. Anybody got joy? Father, we thank you for your blessing. We thank you for your love. Thank you for the assurance of your word. Not insurance, but assurance. Insurance helps us after we have the loss. Assurance helps us despite the loss. We got it all the time. Blessed one, Lord, that may not have accepted you in their heart. Open their heart right now and let them receive the true Savior for their soul. I pray, Father, in Jesus' name that you would enlighten us. Help us to know that what we have is greater than anything the world can send against us. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're not saved today, whether you're online, just send to us and just say, preacher, I did what you said. I accepted Christ. If you're in the parking lot and listening, do the same thing. Just contact us online, crossroadbc.com, pastor@crossroadbc.com, and we'll get back to you. If you're in here and you say, preacher, I believe that God's way is my way. I'm going to give up myself and I'm going to follow Jesus because I need this joy. I'm going through right now, but I want to go through and not stay in it. So if you're here today, you feel the prompting of the Holy Spirit, we ask that you would come. Is there one? Here's where you're used to singing. I got joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart. I got joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. I got the joy, joy down in my heart. Where?
Down in my heart.
Where you got it?
Down in my heart.
Gone. Down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. Remember that this week. Brother Joe is going to come and dismiss us in prayer. And as we do, we want to make sure that you got God's joy on the inside. If you got it, give the Lord a great big hand clap. Amen.
Let us pray. Our Father, we are so thankful and so grateful that thou hast spoken to us today through your manservant. Holy Spirit, we do ask that you will enable us. Give us, O God, the strength and the ability to go out and share with someone the joy that Jesus brings. Thank you for this privilege. Thank you for this opportunity. May your grace continue to be with us as we journey through this life. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.